respond to that, that America has decided.
Fred Beitler would know. He's deputy historian of the House of Representatives.
And America has decided through its members of Congress that there is no official book that a member has to swear on when they take their oath of office.
That is the historian for the U.S. House of Representatives. We're talking about this Muslim congressman, newly elected in Minnesota, who would like to use the Quran when he is sworn in January to the House. What do you think about it? A lot of our listeners have chimed in so far. Many of them have said, look, let him use the Quran. The Bible doesn't mean much to him if he's a Muslim. Or they've said, look, let's not use any books. Use the Constitution. Steve called in the last hour and said, look, Christians, as far as Christians are concerned, they shouldn't be swearing on the Bible or on anything else. There's some pretty clear words from Christ telling us not to do that. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. But there are a lot of Christians who are fighting right now to see that a Muslim congressman not be able to use a Quran and should be using a Bible. What becomes of the yes and the no then? I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines for the next half hour of the program. We'll continue with this subject as long as you'd like to, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. A little bit later, if time permits, in Audio Open Lines, a CNN report on the Christmas trees that were in Seattle's SeaTac Airport and then were taken out. And why? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Should Congressman-elect Keith Ellison of Minnesota be allowed to swear his oath in January on his Quran? Let's go to Paul in St. Louis. Paul, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. First, I'd like to refer to the gentleman who called earlier and mentioned President Washington. Every year they have a replication of his burial, which was a Masonic burial. So much for Christianity and George Washington, not to mention a lot of our other founding fathers. But in the military, whether enlisted or officer, you swear to defend the Constitution, and no Bible is required when you take your oath of office.
When you made your oath, Paul, I know you've served in the military. Was a Bible used then?
No. Never was.
Paul, thank you very much. We're talking about people who are being sworn to defend the Constitution with their lives on the battlefield, and no Bible's used. I guess it does raise the question, and we'd have to look into this. In the military, if a Muslim, an American Muslim, serving in the U.S. military, wanted to make their oath, either enlisted or officer, on the Quran, would they be allowed? We have Muslim chaplains. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Now, a caller mentioned in the last hour that she thought Senator Barack Obama of Illinois was Muslim, a multi-generationed Muslim. That is, in fact, not true. After a little bit of checking, Senator Barack Obama is a member of the United Church of Christ, one of those big mainline liberal Christian denominations. He is, in fact, at least in his profession, a Christian, and that's according to the UCC website. I thought so. If Barack Obama were a Muslim, that would be the big story, not just his popularity and his meteoric rise. It's Audio Open Lines. You can email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org, or call us 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Coming up the 16th through the 19th of January, and that is, by my reading, just a little bit more than a month away, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, they're going to hold one of the biggest events that they hold on campus. In 2007, there at the very beginning, they have their symposia, Christian Identity in a Pagan World. Now think about that. For all the Christians out there whining about the fact that we were or are or should be a Christian nation, Christians ought to understand themselves as pilgrims. You didn't hear Paul whining about Rome being a Christian empire. No, he realized he lived, as we live, in a pagan world. That's one of the themes of this year's annual symposia at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, go to our website and you'll find a link to everything you need. I do suggest that you consider attending. It's for pastors and lay people. It's a big event, and it really does show you the best of what they offer in terms of their academics and their worship life and the fellowship that goes on all year round at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. You can call them also toll-free, area code 260-452-2241, 260-452-2241, and find out more about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and their annual symposium, Christian Identity in a Pagan World, this year. Here's a story from CNN on the Christmas trees that no longer adorn the airport in Seattle.
Seattle-Tacoma International Airport. Christmastime imagery, but the trees have been taken down. It started with this rabbi's complaint, but this is not what he wanted.
The Jewish community at large is offended by the removal of the Christmas trees.
What he wanted was for something to be placed alongside one of the trees, a menorah. He says the Hanukkah symbol, as seen in other public displays, represents triumph of freedom over oppression.
It's not just a message for Judaism, it's a message for hope for everyone.
But he didn't just ask. He threatened a lawsuit, and the commission that oversees the airport says there was no time to reach a resolution.
Frankly, we are faced with the choice of either spending unknown amounts of the public's dollars and countless hours of litigation, or trying to figure out how to accommodate all these cultures all at once when we were underway trying to bring 500,000 people through SeaTac Airport in the busiest possible seasons.
So the trees came down and tempers went up.
It's kind of sad that we have to do that now. It seems to try to please everybody.
To take away the Christmas tree to me, you know, is just saying that Christmas doesn't count when it's an aspect of Christmas.
Airport employees are angry too.
Everybody's been outraged enough that they're probably going to bring in their own solution tomorrow and to demonstrate, I suppose, and they're going to bring their own Christmas trees, and we're going to display them at the ticket counters.
And the rabbi says he wants the Christmas trees back up, too. So why doesn't the airport just put the trees back up, add a menorah, and everybody goes home happy? Well, the commission that runs the airport says the concern is that if they represent Hanukkah, they'll have to be concerned about representing all cultures that may have holidays this time of year. And they say that at this point, there just isn't enough time to take care of everybody. Joshua Lev, CNN, Atlanta.
Festivus for the rest of us. It always comes up in this conversation. I heard on the radio that they actually are or were having a Festivus celebration in St. Louis. Did one of our callers tell us about that? Then I heard it announced on the radio after that. Well, look, it's true. There's two lessons to learn here. Number one, to this poor Jewish rabbi who really just wanted the menorah put up in the Seattle airport, be careful what you ask for and how you ask for it, because you might not get what you want. You might get something even worse. He wanted a menorah added alongside the Christmas tree, and he got the Christmas trees taken down, and he objects to that. The other lesson here is, yes, if you're going to represent one culture and religion, given the fact that we live in a pluralistic society, you have to represent all, or at least as many as have the wherewithal to ask you, which is why I bring up Festivus. I mean, if there is someone out there who observes it, they could go in and say, hey, it's my airport too. I don't know. When I go to the airport, I do not look for the Christmas tree. That's not the first thing I go looking for at the airport. What do I want at the airport? I want tight security, planes on time, my bags returned to me as soon after the flight is over as possible. I'm not looking for Christmas trees. To tell you the truth, I'm looking for my gate and maybe a Starbucks if I have time, but I'm not looking for the Christmas trees. I don't know. I've been in Lambert many times, but I've been in Lambert since Thanksgiving, and I don't remember seeing any trees of any kind except for the shrubbery that they keep around there that are starved for sunlight. Do you remember seeing any Christmas trees at the airport, Jeffy?
No, I don't, but I was thinking, whatever happened to the Hare Krishnas at the airport? Remember, they were all the rage?
The Hare Krishnas?
Yeah, are they?
I haven't seen
them anymore.
One, years.
Well, haven't
seen
them. What happened to them?
It's probably a security risk.
What was that movie, like, Airplane? Was that the spoof when they show the guy going and just punching him?
Yeah, one of the funniest movies ever made.
Whatever happened to him? But whatever happened to Harry Kirshner? Did they go out with Christmas trees?
No, I think when George Harrison died back, what was it, 10 years ago now? They kind of waned a little bit. I don't know. Let's get Gretchen on and ask her where all the Hare Krishnas went.
They've been exiled.
Yeah, but I imagine they represent a security risk. Or maybe, you know, there are Christians at the airport. There used to be Christians. Before 9/11, there used to be Christians at the airport handing out Bibles. I think the seminary used to send students over there. They weren't, well, a lot of the seminary students are bald-headed, but they're not wearing fancy robes and dancing and chanting. At least, not that I know of. I'm not looking for Christmas trees at the airport. I'm looking for safe, somewhat comfortable. I know I'm asking too much to have any level of comfort on an airplane, but safe, quick, on-time transportation from point A to point B. And hopefully, this is my personal pet peeve about airports, that the people who are going one way all walk on one side, and the people who are going the other way all walk on the other side. We live in America. It is a society. We are intelligent people. If the ants can do it, we can do it too. We can have two lanes of human foot traffic in an airport terminal. We don't have to have the guy who's standing there talking on his, is it a blueberry, a blackberry? What are the names of those things that people stick in their ears? Standing there in the middle. I was in an airport a couple weeks ago, and there was a guy standing in the middle of the hall talking to someone on his cell phone. Apparently, he had to stand in the middle. I don't know why you couldn't go sit down. All right, I won't say anything more because I hate airports anyway. And believe me, putting a Christmas tree in there is not going to cheer me up. Not one bit. Josh calls from his car. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Todd. I think a big problem we have around Christmas time is that people seem to think that because the Christians are celebrating Christmas and the Jews are celebrating Hanukkah, that everybody else needs to have a holiday, and everyone else's culture needs to be looked at. What, you know, the thing is they don't have a holiday around that time. So why do they want to have their say, I guess, is my question.
I don't know. You know, being a Christian who has never known anything other than Christmas, I don't know why everybody has to stick in a holiday. But I think the principle that is articulated by the commission that takes care of these things at the Seattle airport is pretty sound. If you represent one, you probably should represent all, or at least all that ask. Josh in Grafton writes this. He says, I've been thinking about this Christmas tree menorah thing. We've heard about the imams on a plane fiasco, not to mention profiling Muslims, etc. Can you imagine the Islamic response to a menorah in an airport? That might be a valid concern. On a side note, he says our governor, Jim Doyle, said that he won't celebrate Festivus because of the Michael Richards racist outburst. Now, that's a shame. Michael Richards is not the sole representative of Festivus. In fact, I don't think he even celebrated it during the Seinfeld series. It was George's dad, and George only did it reluctantly. Yeah. One more strike for Festivus. I'm going to still fight for it. Let the church celebrate the Mass of Christ, and let the world celebrate Festivus. That would be great. Feats of strength, airing of grievances, the Festivus pole, all gathered around. What a glorious time that would be. Joel in Dearborn, Michigan. On the issue of the Quran, since the Quran was used as a source of faith for the attacks on the U.S., the use of the Quran is controversial for swearing in an officer of the U.S. government. To remove the controversy, he ought to be made to make a public statement repudiating the Muslims' use of the Quran and the name of Allah to justify violence against America. I wonder if he'd do that. Well, I don't know that he hasn't. I don't know that he has. That would be a political solution, Joel. But you're right. It is a, here's a book that is used by Muslims for some very benign purposes and for some very malignant ones. And this congressman would like to use it to swear in January. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's see what Bruce has to say, calling from Carrollton. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Pastor Todd. I think the people ought to wake up in this country
including our president and everybody up there in Washington, that this Muslim, which leads to Islam, and they got one purpose in their life, and that is world domination. And I got a book here that everybody ought to read. It's Islam and Terrorism. And I bought this down at Concordia Publishing House in St. Louis. And it's written by Mark A. Gable. He's a Ph.D. Mm-hmm. He lived a life. He graduated from, I don't know how you pronounce it, Al-Azhar in over in the East. And he was a professor there for quite some number of years. And he ended up turning Christian and barely escaped from there with his life. He went through Africa.
Bruce, thank you for the call. And we've had several former Muslims on the program, most notably Ergun Kaner, who is deeply concerned at the fact that there are 1.3 billion Muslims in the world. That makes it the second largest religion in the on the planet, next to Christianity, and it's very close. Last time I checked, 1.6 million Christians in the world. And they are out reproducing Christians, at least in Western civilization. Brad calls from his car. Hi, Brad.
Hi. I think the Hare Krishnas are still at the airport. They used to have a little unmarked booth with a table that had their literature spread out, but they didn't actively go out and try to solicit the receipt of their materials. But I still think they're there.
All right. Thank you, Brad. What I want to know is why is he worried that the Hare Krishnas aren't there anymore? Are you considering a conversion to Krishnaism? Why are you even worried? Why would you even notice that the Hare Krishnas aren't there?
Well, no, I'm saying if you can't have Christmas trees, but you can't have Hare Krishnas. I mean,
oh, I see. Okay, what are they celebrating this time of year?
I don't know, but what did they wear? Did they wear like
they wore like togas?
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, you didn't see many of them in the Midwest in the winter, I would think.
No, it's not a weather pattern that's amenable no. to that fashion choice, no. And the baldness probably. It just loses something if you've got a stocking cap on.
Yeah,
it
hey,
really does.
Join our group. We wear togas in winter. That's not very seeker sensitive.
No. I mean, it works for college, but it's not seeker sensitive. Although, don't put it past the Hare Krishnas. If Christians can learn to be more seeker sensitive, then so can they. And, hey, it's all good. It's all good. How would you like that? The church growth Krishna movement. Maybe they're celebrating the many arms of Vishnu. I don't know what they're celebrating this time of year. But if they want representation at the airport, I'm all for that. Scott calls from his car. Hi, Scott.
Oh, hey, Todd. How you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, I'm coming in a little blind here on your Quran swearing in thing, so I don't know what's transpired, but I was reading an article with commentary on that today, and I thought the guy made a good point. He said, what happens if the next candidate wants to swear in on Mein Kampf? You know, what are they going to say then? Well, no, you can't do that. Well, why not? Because, you know, these ideas that people have and the places they take them, they may not want to end up there. So I don't know. What's the current status of the Islam book swearing in? Is it a go or no go?
Well, as far as I know, there's no one who's really can tell him no. I mean, there's public pressure being brought, kind of public rhetoric being brought, but I don't think it's a decision he makes on his own. And by the way, since you are coming in late, the story that we played about an hour ago from National Public Radio makes it pretty clear that he's not talking about the official swearing-in ceremony. That takes place for every congressman with no books, all together en masse. But the unofficial photo op swearing-in for the cameras, generally in their chambers or their office. And that's where he wants to use the Quran. We had a caller who called in and said, it was Phil. He said, just use the Constitution. And that seems like the best solution for all Americans, for all elected officials. Just use the Constitution. Then we're not talking about whose holy book or whose Mein Kampf or whose political philosophy. The Constitution is the one thing we're all supposed to agree on as Americans. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Carl writes from Sturgis, South Dakota. On the one hand, I do understand why we use the Bible for swearing-in ceremonies. Dropping the use of it would be a significant milestone in the history of our country. I favor nothing rather than using the Quran or anything else. So for Carl, if I'm reading him correctly, it's the Bible or nothing. Are we concerned that people are using the Bible who don't care about the Bible? Does it bother you that, say, I'm just going to toss out a name without any direct knowledge of what she believes? Does it bother you that Nancy Pelosi might put her hand on a Bible? She's pro-choice. She's in favor of gay marriage. And she might put her hand on a Bible. Does that concern you as much as someone saying, look, I'd rather use the Quran? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Just a few minutes left. Going back to something we discussed at the very beginning of the program today, Ebenezer Lutheran Church in San Francisco, California, known on the internet as Her Church. Steve in Granora, North Dakota, writes this. As an ELCA pastor, I have been aware of Ebenezer, quote-unquote, Lutheran for quite a while, and it does chagrin me that the leadership in the ELCA has not taken action to correct the errors of this so-called church, or for that matter, the errors of the Metro New York Synod, and the list can go on and on. I don't know of those situations. He continues, I know that it might seem otherwise at times, but Ebenezer does not represent the normative voice among most lay people and pastors in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Unfortunately, voices such as those of Ebenezer are often the ones that get heard the loudest and have the most visible presence in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, because the leadership in the ELCA identifies more with them than with the average ELCA layperson and pastor, who remain committed to the confessional biblical Lutheran view. There are those of us in the ELCA seeking to be the proverbial light in the darkness. Thanks for your show, writes Steve, and thank you, Steve, for listening. Well, in that vein, of course, we're going to be talking with James Nestegan coming up Thursday on the program about the ELCA's sexuality report. And he is also one of those, Steve, you might be heartened to know, I'm sure you already do, he's also one of those in that largest Lutheran church body in the U.S., with all of its egregious oddities and errors and idiosyncrasies, who says, why don't we just try being, I don't know, Lutheran for a change? That'd be something new. It would be for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And you know, all Lutherans might just adopt that viewpoint. Why don't we try being, I don't know, Lutheran? It's a crazy idea, right out of left field, but just thinking outside the box, maybe we should try to be Lutheran for a change. Tomorrow on your program, on this program, your answers to this question. What do you think most unbelievers think? God loves me or God hates me? I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Today's Issues Etc. broadcast was underwritten in part by Concordia Publishing House, publishers of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, titled From Heaven Above. For more information, look for the book cover on our homepage at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, From Heaven Above.
AM 850 KFUO Clayton, St. Louis, now concludes its broadcast day. KFUO AM operates with a signal strength of 5,000 watts on a frequency of 850 kilohertz.